And I just want to know, this is our first time with our city liaison at the, and so I appreciate you being here, Bruce. So, and I think Brad's unable to make it. He's got to chair a Boy Scout meeting, and then Larry is at a water, he's on a one rural, of the rural water board meeting. So,
water
board. It's a board about water. Yeah. Okay. So with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda. So we got a motion by Van Dusen. Is there a second to approve the agenda? A second by Mr. Kranz. Any discussion on the agenda? Anybody want to say anything at the open? Okay. That's what the public meetings were supposed to say. So, and Commissioner Hatton's going to give us a little update that during the open part, and I had one thing to say when we get to that. So. Please. You got some?
Yeah. Judge Spears going to be
here? He might be here. I got more copies.
If he does.
So, and then I sent out the minutes as a link or personally delivered on paper to certain members of the committee. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from April 12th.
I'll make that motion.
Thanks.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Van Dusen, second by Walder. And by the way, I should note that Tom he's normally a non-voting member, but since the sheriff isn't here, he's a voting member. So that's in the charter. So any discussion on the minutes? Jank, if there is none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. So minutes are approved. And I forgot to approve the agenda, actually.
No, you did.
I did? Okay. Yeah, all right. I don't think we ever voted on it. So is everybody in favor? If you're in favor of the agenda, please say aye.
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 If you're opposed, say no. Okay. Sorry, I got that mixed up. I got distracted talking about the oven. Let me call our architect, Anthony, and he can give us a quick update on the remodel. This is going to be really high tech, I hope.
FaceTime video with him.
Yeah.
Put him up on the screen.
Yeah, we could do that. Hey, Anthony. So we are here. You're a disembodied presence in our CCJAC meeting. And so if you could give us an update, right? I have just a couple of slides. I have a few photos of the remodel, the demo inside the nurse's office, the future clerk of court's office, and then I have a slide of the floor plan, if that helps. But if you can give us a quick rundown of how things are going.
So probably the most interesting part of what's happened in the last few weeks is courts kind of reassessed what they need for their lobby. So we did a change to the project in order to shrink their lobby and increase their department size. So that saved the county a little bit of money. The county had spent a little bit of money to pay us to redesign it. So the two things pretty much washed, but the county saved about $1,000.
I'm going to point to the spot on the floor plan so they can see what Anthony's talking about is, if you remember the floor, so this is the future clerk of course, so this whole lobby area is going to go out to these two columns, so once the court folks started walking around in there, they're saying, well, this is too small to work in, and they wanted to scoot the lobby area to this, and you'll see tonight, and if you go visit, we'll go visit it afterwards, you'll see that's still big enough, and so basically, we save some money, that some of the materials you don't need here, and here, and a doorway that you didn't need. So it was the door and ballistic material mostly that we save money on?
Yeah, mostly. There was some adds. The courts added some cabinets as we did this. So there was a little bit of add and a little bit of savings.
Okay.
So the schedule, that pushed the schedule a little bit, probably a couple weeks, but we're still looking for the overall project to be done in November.
Okay. Now, the one on the scheduling, one thing that Milo and I have been talking about is trying to choreograph the move and some of the electrician work for the other offices that are scooching all over the courthouse as we do this. And so that's kind of a tricky one.
Yeah, Milo sent an email about that today.
Okay. So that's just...
So we will get a recalculated schedule from the contractor, and at that point we'll know exactly where we're at for phase one.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the update.
Okay, and then just the other maybe mildly interesting thing that's less exciting is the change order that we approved today for the air handling ductwork. So that's less exciting, but
yeah, I should probably mention that, Lee. That's a rather interesting thing where we weren't able to get above the ceiling of the vestibule, and we don't want to cut across the vestibule and take away some of the crown molding in the lobby. Yeah.
That's where that squiggly area is on the bottom.
We're able to bring the duct down into the basement, back up into the Kirker Courts area, and really nothing else had to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's significant about that is there's no air handling at all.
Your Honor.
There's no air handling at all in the courthouse, part of the courthouse currently. So this is going to provide some fresh air circulation throughout the remodeled space. So.
Anthony, the way that I understand it, was that space was too narrow to feed that through. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was only a couple of inches above the plaster ceiling.
And then we don't want to build I had the idea to maybe build a chase that was kind of inconspicuous, but it would have been conspicuous was the problem. So,
right. Yeah. And it didn't really cost us significantly more to just cut down to the basement.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
That's what I know, Lee.
Okay. All right. Well, that was pretty exciting. So, any other questions for the architect, for Anthony? So, okay. All right, well, thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it. We're probably going to do a pretty quick meeting tonight and then go take a look at the remodel site with the committee. So,
great.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Yep, thank you, too.
Okay. Anything else come to mind on the remodel? So it's good. You'll see it's kind of one of the things that's interesting to me. That's has anybody ever been in the nursing space? Mm-hmm. So they had before drywall, they had this kind of gypsum block stuff, and that's mostly what all this was. So there's a huge open space now, but anyway, what we were talking about, that first change order was the customer counter was going to be back at these columns, which made this area more narrow than it, until you were there, you didn't really realize how narrow that was. So now the customer counter is there. You'll see what that's like now. The stud work, they're hanging sheetrock today. And then,
so the lobby area is to your left.
Yeah. So this where that's kind of where the counter is. So,
yeah.
And you'll see it's still bigger than what they have now. It's about twice as big as what they have. Probably a little more than twice as big as what they have now. And then these are the metal studs are pretty much all in place now. So this was from probably about a month or so ago. And then they just did, this is this morning when they were delivering the sheetrock, and now most of that is probably hung up by now. So. As of today, so we'll go take a look. Any other questions on that? So the big tricky thing that's we're trying to work on is making sure that we got the move space kind of properly choreographed with the contractor, because it's hard to schedule a move if you don't know the exact date with the mover.
So all the debris out of there.
They put it in a dumpster. They just carried it out to a dumpster. So yeah. It's not that heavy. They're gypsum. They're kind of a light chalky block. They're not very heavy.
Fireproof.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see some of it, some fragments of it. So okay. Then the other thing I wanted to talk about that I had on the agenda was just reviewing the inmate population trends, because we had the spike that was pretty high, and Bill Garnos has been updating our numbers for us, and his last update, if you'll recall, was a little scary, because it basically accounted for that last spike. So what we had numbers going into the 80s and 90s, and then kind of leading into this discussion before I was even in office, they were getting up into the 60s in 2013, 2014, and they've been staying in the 60s, but then we had this spike over the last year, and that really changed Bill's projection. But this is his original projection from back in 2015 when we initially contracted him as a consultant to do this. And so you can see this number. This particular chart only goes up to
2025.
Yeah, 2025. So he actually, but the charts he has, the other parts of the report go 20 years out. So this was 10 years out from when he did that report. And you can see, projecting the inmates you know, in those high 70 areas, you know, depending on the kind of statistical modeling he uses, but the average is about 77 inmates in 2025. So, and then if you kind of take a look at what's been happening there, that's our ADP data, the real data. So Bill was able to incorporate everything before 2015 into his projections, and then he was doing updates. And you can see the spike definitely changed. That's going to change your projection some. But the interesting thing is that now it's kind of like going somewhere in that general area where he was anyway for these years. Now, it looks a little bit lower. So just to kind of keep that in mind, there's some, I think the big new thing, and you'd be the person to speak to this, but the big new thing that we're doing that might be affecting this, I don't know for sure, right? I don't know if any of us know for sure, is the working on that mental health process and the referral process a little bit. And then I think there's some other stuff that are more people going to the penitentiary nowadays? Or
I think it's not a combination of drug court,
it's a drug court, veterans court, DUI court, not in this circuit, but I've sent some people up to Aberdeen or to tribal court or down to Sioux Falls.
Okay. So, okay.
And I think the other judges are doing the same.
Yeah.
I know I've taken a hard look at what we're doing in sentencing on these mm-hmm. low-grade felonies. It's probation. It doesn't... it's presumptive probation. It doesn't say 60 or 90 days in jail, then probation. Yeah. We're looking at getting people into treatment right away.
Yeah. So,
and all those factors are impacting
right.
on these.
There's a lot of pieces, yeah. Yeah.
Really reduce the numbers.
Yeah.
I have a question. Like, even the bonds, have that somewhat changed bonding people out, lowering that dollar amount?
Unless somebody is an absolute danger to the community, and there's six or seven factors we have to look at by statute in a bond hearing, I start out with the proposition that it's personal recognizance, and only the very, very serious violent crimes do I set a bond, or I hold somebody without bond, and that's basically what the other judges are doing too. Does that answer your question,
yes.
Brenda?
Because that does affect the numbers also.
Right.
People are able to not, you know, they won't have to stay typically.
So
if somebody doesn't have a history of making court appearances and a danger to the community, it's personal recognizance.
So that's your default if you can use it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Has
so
has that changed since January of 17, or why were the numbers so high back then? Or is it just the way that we're doing business now as far as those bond hearings are concerned?
I think
changed?
That has a is part of it. And then again, the treatment courts are geared up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the case in January of 2017. They were just getting started.
Would you say the arrests are kind of at the same level as they have been, the bookings?
I'd say their bookings are remaining constant, but I think the judges have reevaluated how long they want people to stay in jail.
Yeah.
Because when we were at those high numbers, it seems like even on a class 5 or class 6 felony, people were doing 60 to 90 days. Where
okay.
I think that number has dropped quite a bit. Where, you know, if somebody comes in, they might be dealing 30 days.
Mm-hmm. If somebody is sitting in jail for 2 to 3 months, they're not getting the counseling and the treatment. And that's where I shifted my approach somewhat.
Okay. These are very useful things to think about. I just had another slide similar to this. So thank you for letting us know what's going on. That's really helpful. And then if you take out that projection, this is just taking an Excel spreadsheet, but it kind of averages all those things that Bill does. And the thing to note here is that this projection line. So this goes out to 2035. Like if you look at Bill's whole report, that's where it goes out that far. But if you look at that 10 years out and the 10 years out over here, the difference is this is kind of on the, you know, it's in the just under 90, about, you know, high 80s, 90s. So that's kind of in the upper end of what he was looking at back in 2015. So kind of interesting, just to kind of keep track of what, you know, what this real data is doing to that projection. So,
so that spike in January of 17, was that as a result, you think, as in terms of Senate Bill 70? In the sentencing guidelines?
It was still relatively new. And I think it was just a combination of several factors. Now the judiciary has a couple more years to deal with it. And we've looked at the sentencing factors and nonviolent offenders and whether they really need to be incarcerated or in counseling.
Right. One question I have for everybody here is my perception, actually, as we were talking about this over the past year, is that the folks in jail are mostly felons. I mean, the people that actually end up in jail are, whether it's pretrial or post-trial, they tend to be felons as opposed to misdemeanors. And if it's pretty much the norm for a misdemeanor offender to end up on the 24/7 or a PR bond, is that? That's kind of when people ask us what the difference is. What's the difference when the jail was built? I mean, it was built mostly for the misdemeanor offender, I think, and now it's not. That's not what it's for. That's not what's happening, and so that has to do with the nature of the building and, you know, whether it's appropriate for the current for its current use, I guess. So, anyway. So I think as time goes by, we want to keep track of this kind of stuff and keep talking about it, even though things are. We're focused on the court part of the remodel right now.
Well, the misdemeanors that we're seeing in jail, you know, the class or the DUI second offenses, they're still doing their 10 days in jail. And then they're putting on 24/7 for whatever length of time. You know, some of it's a mandatory amount of time that they're on and then extended if they're going to be on, have a work permit too. The judge wants them to have. You know, make sure they're clean and sober if they're on that work permit for a year.
That second offense, DUI, it's still a Class 1 misdemeanor, but that was mandated by the presiding judge at the time because each judge in the circuit was treating it a little bit different. So that's the story behind that standard. And so that's done. That's a standard sentence in all 14 counties that make up the third judicial circuit, and that was by an instruction from the presiding judge of this circuit. I think we need to take a look at it.
But a second DUI is something, you know, there's a public safety issue there. I'm sure that that's
right.
With guys like you have to weigh that. So.
That's right. So. Public safety probably is the overriding factor because of a second time drunk driver. Mm-hmm. We have to look out for that. Other Class 1 misdemeanors that may result in a jail sentence, and I don't want to skip over everything, but violation of a protection order is and domestic abuse. That's another issue that goes to the safety, public safety. So,
Okay, thank you. But that, I mean, it just kind of... I'm kind of forming a picture that, you know, misdemeanors are maybe about 10% of the jail population, something in that area, and then the rest are felons. So, but that's, I mean,
and if somebody's getting a jail sentence on a misdemeanor, they've done it. They have a history of committing this offense, and they're not getting the message.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I need to cover that slide. That's kind of the same thing. I don't know if we need to spend time there. Sorry, it's my phone. Then just now kind of moving over, just keeping in mind, this is the next thing on the agenda is talking about the process of, you know, how do we get to the jail eventually. So I don't think we're in the mode of setting any timelines at this point, but because we've had these discussions before, but just kind of to keep our eye on the ball. I mean, the overall process is we still need to be looking at analyzing the problem, kind of updating our data, and thereby updating the criteria that we use, but also not right now. A lot of the discussion, as we've had time to have it with help from the city, and Commissioner Hanton and I have been discussing with Bruce and Commissioner Danforth about some ideas of where we might put it, especially if we're thinking about downtown. And so it's still kind of a work in progress, I'd say. I don't know if you want to say anything, or Mr. Hanton, if you wanted to say anything. I just heard back from the other Bruce about that, the site we had been talking about. So, but I don't have a whole lot to say about it at this point, but this discussion's kind of out there. So if you hear about other ideas about, you know, we'd ideally like to keep the thing downtown. That's what people seem to want. However, we got to be realistic about things, and then, you know, do what we can do to I guess minimize the operational cost, balance that with the, you know, the construction costs, obviously. So, do you want any desire to chime in on anything?
I don't know what this group. I don't know what discussions you've had today.
Well, not much on this particular thing we're talking about, where you and Mike have been helping us. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the discussion started several months ago now, I suppose. You know, we were looking at some means of cooperating in a facility where the city could, like they do in Brookings, not to that scale, but Brookings has a county-city building. And that's sort of what initiated the discussion. And, of course, you know, I think that that if we're a part of the process, I think that down the road, when it comes to finding money for this thing, I think it might be beneficial. It might be helpful.
Yeah.
If there's some benefit to the city somehow or another, and I don't know that there would be a lot at this point, but, you know, we volunteered to kind of get in the middle of this thing, and, you know, we've got land down there. And when I say down there, I'm talking about the over next to the current police station. And if we put it adjacent to there, it would make sense that, you know, you could ferry your prisoners across back and forth if you did have that courtroom in the facility and then the jail and the new sheriff's office. It would make sense to have that adjacent to each other, for, you know, so you guys can cooperate and have things closer by, and probably eliminate a little bit of the safety issues with transfers and that kind of thing. So that's sort of where we get.
No, you're not. We haven't talked that much about it. And so he's in the spot that Bruce is referring to is the area just south of the where the power station facility is, and it belongs to the city, but it's currently leased by the power station, the power company.
Yep.
And so we're busy with the remodel and then the election and then other stuff, but we've been and then also having to have a discussion trying to not spend extra money as we do it to figure out the viability of that site. So that's still up in the air.
Is that site right along First Avenue North then?
Yeah, it's basically across from County Fair.
Okay.
Next to the. So it looks like there's kind of a parky area in front of it. It's, when I look at it, it looks like roughly the same size of site that we were going to put the jail on the auditorium block. But there are other questions. There's a lot of stuff under the ground there that adds to the cost. And so.
And let me just add, too, also, I think there's a desire by the city to retain that property. Mm. You know, where the original plan, we had the last plan.
Oh, you mean the auditorium block?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we would prefer to keep that.
Okay,
that
so that's
now. So that's another, why we're looking if we could
right,
make it
to help us
there.
Out. Yeah. And it'd be great if you could do a common building, but if there's not a need for a common building, then at least working together, like city thing here, county thing here. I mean, that's a very useful discussion too, when you're talking, especially when you're talking about the downtown. So, you know.
Well, when it comes time to look for money, and you got to market this thing.
Yeah.
Get the money.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If there's any way we can help, because I think we all believe that we need to do this.
Yeah.
It's only 80% of our prisoners are city residents.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that being said, you know, we got two C's. One's a county and one's a city. You put the two C's together, what do you get? A circle.
So one C would be backwards.
Okay. I mean, that's a community.
There's your marketing guy right there.
I mean, it's the truth.
Yeah.
You look at two C's, and I talked with somebody else the other day about this story, and it's no different than what we're talking about with Brenda and this what are we calling it?
Like
Reentry.
No, what is Bruce saying now? It left me dead.
whatever it is, it's a place where those people that
transitional housing.
Forgive me. There again, we talk about city and we talk about county. And then you put community in the middle. And it's not a city problem, it's not a county problem, it's a community problem. And both of those two are the truth. So let's work together as a city and a county and a community and do what we need to get done. Mm-hmm.
The idea.
Yep. Yeah. So thanks for coming, Bruce.
Oh, mm-hmm. Glad to be invited. Thank you.
So if you
our recall, guys always said it should be. Why did our city fathers or our county fathers in the past put it on the courthouse lawn? I mean, in jail. Why did they do that?
I wasn't there.
Our city cop in your county.
Yeah.
Why did they do that? Because it was convenient, or what? It made sense. Still makes.
Well, I think
it still makes sense.
It was already there.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
So, guys are wiser than I am, but it seems to make sense. Our forefathers weren't.
Yeah.
They were pretty smart. Yeah. They still are. So let's not deviate too much from what they taught us.
So anyway, so this is right. Thank you for that. And that's well, I think we do need to keep on thinking about it. And it's the square footage we need is something on the order. It's over 60,000 square feet. It's probably kind of what we need as far as a footprint. So give you an idea. So if you happen to see anything. Yeah, so otherwise, we're going to keep working on the discussion that Bruce was just talking about. And then getting a, it sounds like, you know, it, what you're saying sounds a little bit more definitive about the auditorium block. So the city kind of.
I would say so. Yeah. I think that's
the. So you don't think that the offer
is to have it elsewhere?
Okay.
The city wants to keep the
auditorium block.
Yeah. City auditorium block in the parking lot.
Yeah, they, and you guys acquired.
And I can't honestly tell you exactly why, or for what, I can't tell you that, but I do know that we prefer to keep that.
Okay. All right, well, that's part of the process of getting to it. So I think we all kind of know the process. The one thing I wanted to highlight on this slide, I just added this bullet about a jail utilization study, and it's a different kind of a study. It's not just a simple projection like what Bill Garnos did, but this might be something to think about. What I'd like to do is get a bit more information on what a study like this might look like, but it would try to encompass some of the alternatives that we're talking about. To see kind of maybe what we could expect from that, what is really going on, getting a little bit more into the detail of understanding the process of how somebody works through the criminal justice system, because just doing a simple projection doesn't give you that whole piece of information, you know, all of that information. And so I'm not really asking for any action, but if you have any thoughts on that, that's one thing that I was intending to spend some time researching and figuring out how useful that would be. It might be something we could just do on our own with some data crunching, but I don't think that's going to be all of it. So, as fun as it is to crunch data, you know, for you guys. Okay. So, and then everything else on that slide is pretty much what we've been talking about and the process we've been using, and it, you know, we came pretty close in the last option. So, any other?
Bruce, that land over there across from County Fair that we're talking about on First Avenue North, what would all be entailed there as far as moving utilities and stuff? What is that? It's like a power substation or something.
It's a backup power plant. It's a natural gas driven plant. I don't know if they've ever used it.
I don't think they've ever fired it up.
That power plant was uptown, that steam plant.
Yeah,
I can share with you what the architects have told me about that kind of stuff.
But
the basic.
How long has it been there?
Gosh, long before.
I got.
I've been here. I've been in Watertown for 35 years.
Okay, so it wasn't the old Kermit Farm Center.
There was a steam plant.
Yeah, Kermit used to be to the east of what Kermit's Farm Center was.
Okay, all right, that's right. I got it.
Where the park was. Okay.
Yeah.
It had a smokestack.
Yeah, back 50, 60 years, it was the center hub of all the power for so, the
and,
city.
And the issue for building a building like a jail or any, really almost any kind of heavy building is that you gotta know what's in that soil and mm-hmm. how it's going to react to the weight. So essentially what you got to do is dig out all that stuff and fill it with something that a contractor or a builder is going to understand how that's going to bear the weight. And so that's the issue. So you'd have to do some kind of a remediation. And we had that in the budget before because we knew there were some structures where we were going to put the jail and the auditorium block, you know, like the Elks Lodge and the movie theater and stuff. And that was in the plan. We kind of had a good idea. This steam plant was a pretty heavy-duty building. There's still a tunnel under there with some pipeline in there going to the current power facility. So those are considerations, and probably what's under the ground it's pretty significant in this case. So we got to get in.
That's why I asked the question: what was all underneath there?
I understand there might be some footings under there from.
Yeah, okay. There will definitely be footings.
Old buildings and.
There's a tunnel under there with a.
Tunnel would be a big issue.
Yeah. Under a jail.
Be
yeah.
a big issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But it has a. I think it has. It's some kind of a fuel pipe.
Come out at the gods.
Yeah. 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 All right.
No, let me just say, just from an experience we had with the Wellness Center, building that one. The original plan was to have that abut the middle school, the junior high there. And by us moving it to where we did, we saved about $800,000. And that's in soil because the soil tests were not very good. And we'd had to bring in a lot of fill. And I mean, you would never guess that it would be that much, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, so it's approaching $1 million bucks more. So, yeah. 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 Well, okay, so that's this slide's pretty is very similar to ones you've seen in the past. I'm not trying to put a timeline on it like I was before, though. So, next thing on the agenda is to talk about when do we want to meet next. I'm thinking, I think doing it about every 2 months is probably just to make sure that we kind of stay up on things. Even if the meetings are short, is probably enough at this current juncture. So I'm thinking mid-August-ish might be soon enough.
Anytime after the 13th would be good.
My phone.
Sturgis.
Sturgis? Okay. All right.
Deadwood.
Okay. Okay, so after... So
are you going out there to party, or is law enforcement...
I'm going to be a part of the problem. I'm going to be part of the solution.
Yeah. It'll be working.
Let me write that down. I'll put that in the minutes.
I promise.
They do.
They have court every morning out there.
No kidding.
Yeah, they have to. It's just...
So what's okay? So usually Tuesdays or Thursdays are the days. So just looking at August. So 14th is after the 13th. Is that okay for you?
Normally,
that works really good for me.
Yeah.
Right on.
Or the 16th.
Nice, you guys. Chair.
Your sense of time is exquisite.
Yeah. Or yeah. Thank you. All right. Your Honor. You're at the 14th or 23rd?
Yeah.
How about we say the 14th? Will that work for folks? I think that'll... Okay, we'll tentatively say the 14th.
And we'll all get there for that one, but I'm a non-voting member anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me serve. Are you on vacation or something?
Yeah,
fun,
I am.
Something fun? Okay. Okay. So you're
book
part
a lake
of?
Cabin up there in Minnesota a year in advance, so...
So I'm going to say you're on vacation, then I'm going to Sturgis.
Yeah. Whoa, what are you going to do? All right. So that's – so anything else? I do want to give a few minutes to Commissioner Hanton, and you can share with us about your time in Sioux Falls.
And it's exactly what Matt was talking about. It's community down there that they built this, and it's working. Right now, they have 80, and they call them guests. They're not inmates. They're 80 guests. They have to build a new facility because they have such a need, and the new facility is going to have 60 rooms, two double bunk, which is 120 beds, then 120 people they're going to be able to serve. And basically, they take parolees, they have their work release in there. It's just a very organized system. I was very impressed. The lady that's at the charge of it is very strict, keeps things, she runs a tight ship. These people have strict rules that they need to follow, but it's all about, I mean, here on the front page of this, it's, there was this Dan, it says he left the St. Francis house, he had saved $9,000 to start his life over. It's, he said it's a path from homelessness to self-sufficiency. Well, in our instance, we'd want to use it as like an alternative for our folks who are in drug court, or to try to cut down on the repeat offenders, to give them a place to go. And they do need supervision when they're coming off from some of these substances and that sort of thing. And even like Judge talked about, they have to go to counseling. They have to go to all these certain things. I mean, they barely have time. They need to go to work. They don't have time to get into any sorts of trouble because there is a very strict schedule that they need to follow. They check in, they check in and out in the morning and at night, and it's very interesting. But the biggest thing is community down there. They have buy-in.
So this is a non. So St. Francis is a. It's a non-profit organization that runs it with community contributions, kind of a public-private kind of a...
Yep, and they do get grants. And like I said today, they get some of the grants, but the grant funding is for tangible items. All their donations is more for... And I did write that down, for salaries. So they have 22 total employees that work there. There are six part-time. And then they, of those, they have three case managers. They charge the guests $125 for some of those rooms, and then they have families in there as well. They have like a duplex where families can live in there, and those are like $325 a month per furnished apartment.
And the number that you said that they have right now?
Workers, you mean?
No, people.
People, they have, they're 80. I mean, they're full. They can have...
And they have 22 people running?
Yep, 22 okay. people. And there's six are part-time, three are case managers.
Six of the 22 or an additional?
No, six of the 22. 22 total is what they have running it. I actually was in this room, and I can pass this around. This is where the women are. They have, it's 10 women in a 20 by 15 room. They have bunks like going all around. So, I mean, I can pass that around. You can take a peek at it.
Is it, so just to, so you mentioned work release, so is Minnehaha County using this as one of their work release facilities instead of their jail?
They're getting them out of the jail because they're so full, so that you have their, some of their work release people in here, and then the pen is using it for parolees, and they got people in there from all over, I mean.
Professional.
Mm-hmm. So how is it?
When they're done, they get an airplane ticket and they're gone. I mean, they go all over. I mean, that ends up in the pen. Another interesting thing that I was going to mention about that.
So
I'm here to tell you.
Did they say how their staff is funded there, Brenda?
How? That is, they go on private donations.
It's private donations.
Yeah, they get enough. And they do, well, every year they do a benefit or a sort of a fundraising sort of benefit thing to help support this. So they do that annually.
That's a lot like our Beacon Center.
Yeah, it's like a Beacon Center. Sounds like a Beacon Center plus Serenity Hills, plus a few other things is what it sounds like. I mean,
plus a halfway house.
Yeah. It's everything. They have homeless people. They have people that are coming work release. They have
501c3
parolees. So typically they like to keep them there 60 days or longer, but 4 to 5 months is the best ultimate time to keep them, because hopefully by 5 months they are more apt to not be repeat offenders.
Are they getting chemical dependency counseling?
Oh yeah, any kind of counseling that's required, they have to go to those.
And so you
they separate between alcohol and
mental.
Oh yeah, they do PBT testing there, and I don't know how, if it's once or twice a day. Plus, they do random drug tests on them, and they have these cups that have the chemicals in, and you just tear off the strips, so they're doing that right there. And it's a no tolerance. If they do anything, they're gone.
They're back to jail, or it just depends on what their situation
is? Whatever their situation is,
and
yeah.
It is, so do they, in order to end up there, do they have to be sent there by a judge? or is it just kind of, you may not know, it's maybe too much detail.
I'm not sure. I'm going to find that out because they have, like, intake, they have intake agreements, guest guidelines, they have their employee policy and procedures, and she's willing to share anything and everything. And another interesting thing is they will not, a background check gets done on every individual that comes in there. So if you've been a sex offender, if you've had a simple assault, like a domestic or aggravated assault, you can't get in.
Violent crime.
Because when you're in that close of proximity with people, they don't want anybody who has that maybe capability of doing something like that. And if you've had a disorderly, you have to be clean for 5 years, and then they would let you in. And what's actually happened is they have had some people who have been in there and came out, and then they have to be, I don't know how many, and then they actually come back and work there.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah. And they know the system. So then they have to be gone for 5 years, and then they can come back as staff. But they've made it 5 years clean.
Well, thank you. That's really a good data dump.
Do you work counseling or whatever? Are any of those 22 staff members do the counseling, or do they go somewhere else?
I think they go somewhere else. They have agreements with, like, their transits. I mean, they get tickets for these people that are donated through things. And even, I didn't even realize, a lot of these folks can't get employment because they don't have an ID. So they have it worked out with the DMV to go and get IDs. They have a fund that they get. It's just overwhelming on the things that they have.
A lot of detail.
Figured it out, and yeah, it's amazing. It's good. Anyone of you, I mean, it would be good to go down there and take a look at that, because you would be amazed at what they've done.
I think the benefit of, well, the way I understand the big benefit of things like this is that you reduce the repeat offenders, and therefore it's more of a long run thing, but you start controlling your jail population, which, you know, if we're talking about building a building to last for decades, well, this is a thing to think about.
And besides that, you have people then that are employed in your community, and we need workers.
So, Brenda, are these people that have been sentenced to this facility, the St. Francis House?
I don't believe
it's part of a court-ordered type sentence.
I don't know that part of it, if it's court-ordered or if it's just an option and there's an agreement, I guess, between probably the Minnehaha County and them that they're letting their work release people come in, and there's an agreement with the penitentiary.
Department of Corrections.
So they do have agreements in place with them, and they have it's just overwhelming, the agreements they have with everything, and even like the food services, you name it, they've got it.
So, and just this kind of picks up a little bit of what we were talking about last time with this. It's in the minutes. This diagram. Yeah, you had a bigger one. Yeah, that one there. We're trying to map. I don't want to talk about it too much right now to take too much time since we talked about it before. But the idea is to map out all these things, not just the jail itself, but all the things that we're doing and that we might do. If you're looking at it and wondering what it is, green means it's an existing program or facility or process. Yellow means we're working on it. And the red outlines mean it doesn't work. I mean, or we need to fix it, or inadequate. So anyway, the one thing I wanted to mention during the open is on potential funding for a jail. Back in the 2016 session, this county approached the Cottington County Commission, or I'm sorry, the state, the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners, to lobby the legislature for the ability to ask voters for sales tax instead of asking for property tax if they thought that was a good idea. That's what's done in some other states. So we're kind of working on that again. This time it's not just Cottington County, it's the Sioux Valley Commissioners. So that's a collection of county commissions. Supported that resolution, so we're going to, the idea is that we want to now ask the state association, are you willing to push that again with the legislature?
It's a different administration, and it's there's bigger players involved now.
Well, so it's basically support. The idea is a half penny sales tax that would last only the term of a bond, only in our county. So that's the thing you have to keep on saying, because this was the year of the teacher pay raise when I tried to. So we had a very nice session in the committee, but it died. It went to the 41st day. So, anyway, but it was.
About that, we also say about state. But we have our surrounding communities who shop in Watertown.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are essentially going to be helping fund this, even though they're
That's why it's kind of a nice. That's a nice aspect of it. I mean, and that people I've talked to, most people have they say things like that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But I wanted to keep you up to speed on that one. Anything else for the open? Anybody wants to mention?
Can I just say something else about that? They are building a new building. It's $5 million project. Well, 5 point something on there. They already have $3 million raised to do it. And that, I mean, that's how they get community buy-in, and it just happens for them. And so that's how they're going to hopefully go from the.
Yeah. Are they getting?
Did they mention, Brenda, what kind of funds the county gives them annually or
no,
the city?
No, did not mention particular source of funding, how much, that sort of thing. But we can find any of that out because she's open.
I think that would be one key. What does it cost to run this place?
Oh, she does have that.
Isn't that what
I think it's about $1 million a year to run it. I believe that's what she said.
The income they bring in for the space rental.
I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Well, there's a book that she said that all of us should read.
And I like that, Bruce, because that's holding them accountable. It's giving them accountability to be there.
It is called, it's by Terry Axelrod, and it's called Raising More Money, Funding the Mission. She said you ought to read that book. It's something that is, like, whatever, intriguing. So I thought.
And the last question I'd have on that, did she share with you any data, like the return to guests or not?
That, she said, is really hard because they're from all over. They have like a 10% from what they can get figured is like 10% repeat people coming back.
Okay.
So
that's
but they did do a 3-year community projection, and I'm going to get that to show the cost effectiveness because they had to get that in order to get their Sioux Empire, some funding from them, and then they also get the South Dakota Community Foundation and South Dakota Homeless Accounts. So there's some other funding that a person can tap into, but you do have to have your projections and data. And it took them like a few years to get some of these stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you. So it sounds like there's a lot of information, but a lot more information about it as well. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Anybody else have any questions about or thoughts for the open?
How far would $1 million go if it cost that? Now, you guys are other guys that are know the numbers here. Mm-hmm. So, if all it cost us was $1 million to fix 90% of the people that are repeat offenders, that sounds like a small number to me.
Good investment.
And then, I mean, a good investment, because 90%, who can get 90% out of the world? I'd like to do that on my farm, I'll tell you that.
Well,
you know,
it,
I mean,
it,
only
it costs
10%
one,
are re-
it, Matt, it costs $1 million to operate the center. It costs about $5.5 to $7 million to build it.
I understand that as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
This,
but it's a good investment.
Building up the road here, how many dollars have we got invested in this wonderful building? And it teaches
wellness center, you mean?
Well, that and the one we're sitting in. You know, my dad was on a committee when they started this thing back in the 60s. Okay? And look at where it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big investment back then, too. Okay?
And so, she's not saying that 90% won't ever go back to jail. She's just saying 10% go back to that facility.
Yeah. Right.
They're still repeating and going back to jail.
Okay.
That's just to that one facility.
They'll come back through here.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
Too hard to track.
I misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah.
It's too hard to track, you know, because if they go back to jail, they may not come back through here, or if they end up going away somewhere and they get in trouble wherever they're at, you know, those things, those numbers. But from what they can see. But the thing is your return on investment on the people who you help going here. And what are they giving back to the community and being able to do is holding down a job and
words.
And hopefully not coming back.
A prison term or a jail term doesn't teach you anything about changing your lifestyle.
And that's
a problem with the chemical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a societal problem
And that's
that we have to address.
Yeah, a place like this that They can't help themselves, so they need people to help them until they can help themselves.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it's probably
in the committee meetings too. We hear stories about people that, you know, they leave the courthouse, they're on the street, they got nothing, they got nobody. There's stories about people going out and the first thing they do is go home and mom tells them to go buy some meth.
Yeah. They go right back into the same
environment.
There's
so many people that don't have anything or anywhere to go, I think. Then what else are they going to do? You know, and stories about people don't know how to use a checkbook. People don't know how to be a mom. They don't know how to be a dad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All that education can come into play in a facility like that too. You know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Well, let's if there's nothing else, what I'd like to do is adjourn, and then we can go over to the courthouse. If you haven't seen the remodel site and you want to see it, I've got a secret key fob to get into the courthouse after hours, and I can show you what that looks like. If you're curious. If not, then see you next time. But so with that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So.
Okay, well, so moved by Mr. We'll say you get the motion, you get the second, okay? So, in fact, I wasn't writing down my...
Can I mention one thing, Wayne?
Okay, before we adjourn?
Out at Midwest Bible Camp, maybe this is kind of a preventive thing going on, but we have a free camp for kids coming up on June 24th through the 28th. And any kid can come out free. We got some sponsors that have helped pay for it. I think we had like 75 or 85 last year. But the dates are June 24th through the 28th. If anybody's interested, I got a brochure here. If you know a neighbor kid, if you have a grandkid, if you have a kid or anybody, it's free. And on Thursday, everybody's welcome to come out. We have the parents, grandparents, friends of the Bible camp. Anybody from in town here can come out. 6 o'clock, we got hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever, and some other stuff after that.
What's the age group there for the kids?
I don't know.
Well, let's adjourn the meeting, then we'll continue the announcement.
I thought we were.
No, we have to vote on it.
Oh.
Okay. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And I guess nobody's opposed. Okay. Okay. We're adjourned. Go ahead and please continue to share your announcement.
Yeah.